All right, everybody, Larry Lawton here for another edition. And this is our edition we wanted to start with success stories and people going places, because you know how I like to support those. But before we get started, check out the sponsorship. This video is brought to you by Manscaped.com. You know there's one gift Santa can bring everyone in their life to make them happy. Manscaped, of course. Have Santa bring the perfect package 3.0 kit, including the lawnmower 3.0, waterproof body trimmer, the crop preserver, ball deodorant, the crop reviver, ball toner, plus two free gifts. Your balls and body will thank you. You'll make crowds of people happy with the new refined cologne, signature scented by Manscaped. It's light, approachable, yet tough. It's hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. I love smelling good.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, if you got a special person in your life, or are trying to get one, or more, giving yourself the perfect package 3.0 kit and new refined cologne will definitely put a smile on their face. So go to manscaped.com/jewel and get 20% off plus free shipping when you purchase the new refined cologne by Manscaped. Make everyone happy for Christmas. Get Manscaped. We are in Key West, Florida. We're in Alamorada, and my guest, and I'm a notary, Steven, introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me, Larry, thank you also for being at our last event with the Libertarian Party. Really appreciate that, and you know, one thing I always admired about you, actually how I first discovered you, is a friend of mine sent me a link to one of your videos, and I was watching it. This was like the beginning of COVID, and it was just pure reality, episode after episode of Gangster Redemption, and I really appreciated that. It really drew me in, and it was really a beautiful thing. I think that reality is nourishment, and more people need that, so I appreciate what you do. But yeah, I'm Steven Akela. I'm down here in the beautiful Florida Keys, and we're here at the Island Grill in Alamorada. We just opened up 3 days ago, and we've actually just rebuilt after Hurricane Irma back in 2017. Hurricane Irma was one of the strongest storms ever in the Atlantic Ocean. It actually tore through Big Pine Key, put this place out of commission. The water behind me, the storm surge was so powerful, it actually ripped up our floorboards and blew it up into the roof of the building. So
this place was almost gone.
It was almost gone. Yeah, the inside, it was basically a total loss, but we rebuilt concrete. It's not going to happen again. We kept the deck. We kept our beautiful beach. It actually helped expand the beach a little bit. Brought some sand in, which was great.
Well, we're going to even show videos. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to have videos of the whole entire facility inside and out. And you're 26 years old.
Yes.
Very impressive. You know, just to let everybody know, what happened was Stephen contacted me to help and be one of the speakers, I guess the guest speaker at the Libertarian State of Florida.
Yeah, Libertarian Party of Florida.
The Libertarian Party of Florida speaking, and I spoke at their event, and I told him he called me, I said, you know, I'm going to tell it like it is, like everybody knows I do. And you know what he said to me? Larry, we know who you are, do what you want, you know, and no strings attached, what you can post, what you cannot post, or talk about. And I said it like it is, and I bash Republicans, and I bash Democrats, and I'll bash anybody who's just really not wanting here to be free. If you want to be free, and they say America's supposed to be free, then let's truly be free. That's how I met Steve. And we got to talking, and after speaking, it was a great event. I think they all loved that.
They all loved you, and I have people tell me to stay, you know, we won't forget Larry Lawton. So you definitely made an impact.
You know, and when I decided to do this series, Steve, I wanted to highlight two things. I want to highlight people who have a redemption story, people who made mistakes, maybe they're a felon and now they're a business owner or whatever, and young people who are success stories and want to go places with it in the public sector. Mm-hmm. So I asked Stephen earlier what's his eventual goal, and he goes, I'd like to run for office to help people. That's what he says. He's really a person that wants to give the values of just be you, have fun, do your thing if you want to be free.
Right.
And you'd like to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure thing. So, you know, back...
Well, and let's tell us, what are these we're drinking?
These are green tea shots.
These are green tea shots, everybody. Shot. And right there, look at green tea shots. So,
cheers.
Thank you for the drinks.
That's good.
Wow, we're going to have more of these.
Yeah.
And, Steven, so we got Bloody Marys and stuff. And I'm in Almirada, just to let you know. Obviously, this is a new location. I don't do this usually in the RV.
And this is okay down here, by the way. This is you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So
yeah, yeah. I agree. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and I think it's amazing. You know. So now get into what your eventual goals are. I mean,
sure,
you're a young
sure.
guy. You're very intelligent. Your family is business. A family-owned business. You own what do you own? What?
So family-wise. So we own this restaurant. I've owned it since about 2010. We're also a Wendy's franchisee. We've got 8 locations across the Florida Keys and North Carolina. We also have the Dairy Queen and Tavernier. And so you know, we're always expanding, looking for more. I got involved in the family business from, probably 14, 13 years old.
Were you working in them?
I was, yeah. Actually, we used to have the movie theater on Tavernier. So I was working the movie theater selling popcorn and drinks. And then, you know, I transitioned into the Island Grill a little bit. Now I run mostly the Wendy's, Dairy Queen, everything in the Keys. And so now I'm transitioning a little bit more into the Island Grill because this just reopened. So I've got my hands in all the operations and everything like that. And, you know, it's a great gig. And it kind of taught me to grow up a little faster and take on responsibility. And I see a lot of that, you know, work in the Libertarian Party, because I'm the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Florida. I also sit on the board of directors for the Libertarian National Committee. I represent Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee, and I got my start in the party. I actually, you know, going back in high school, I read The Creature from Jekyll Island about the Federal Reserve System and that whole can of worms, and it got me really into the, you know,
let's give audience a view.
Okay.
A lot of them don't know. They know the Democrat and Republican Party. What is the Libertarian Party?
In a nutshell, libertarianism is live your life however you want to live it, as long as you don't hurt anybody else.
Like I like. Yeah. I say that online all the time and on my show. Listen, I don't judge anybody.
Right.
I don't care your sexuality, your color, your political party, or your... Don't hurt anybody. Treat people the way you want to be treated and live your life. I'm a supporter of drugs in the fact that if you commit crime to get the drug, that's a crime,
and you
should be held accountable. But if you want to go to your house, smoke weed, do coke, whatever, that I'm not one to step in another person's life.
Right.
And I think both parties who claim that they're the liberty, oh, we're freedom with Democrats, or Republicans, less government, and then they want more government.
Right, right.
So they're all bullshit.
Yeah, and in the libertarians, you know, we live your life however you see fit. And you know, when it comes to, you know, there's a false left-right paradigm. You know, people think that, well, if I like guns and I like liberty, I must be Republican. Or if I like, you know, gay marriage and I'm for, you know, legalization, then I must be a Democrat. But that's simply not the case. You've got these two parties that are, you know, based off of a 18th century French political paradigm where there's left-wing versus right-wing, but there's a lot more nuance in that. Just like every individual is different, people are different and political parties are different. So in most parts of the world, you've got, you know, more of a parliamentarian system of government. In the United States, we have this two-party system for several reasons. One of the reasons is because the way the political system was structured, it favors two political parties because it takes 50%, 51% to, you know, get into certain offices. Like if the president got only 30% of the vote, then literally it would go to the House to choose the next president.
Is that how it works?
Right.
Even
right.
the president right now,
Even
any president, if so they didn't get
if
more
don't
than
get,
30%?
If you don't get 270 votes.
Well, I know the
electoral college. So then it goes to, you know, it goes
basically. Oh, I thought number of votes when you said 30%.
Right. Like if you got 30%, let's say there was 30%, 30%, 30%, three people, like a Ross Perot. He really scared people, and ever since Ross Perot...
You know nobody on my channel knows who Ross Perot is.
Okay, so Ross Perot... Ross Perot is an independent who ran... Actually, I think he ran as independent the first time, then he ran as a reform party the second time. I think it was 94 or something like that.
Yeah,
and,
92
or
94.
Yeah, 92, 94, somewhere around there, maybe 96, before my time.
You're right,
yeah. And so he...
It was a rich Texas guy. From,
right, he self-funded.
He owned self-funded, but truly self-funded.
Truly self-funded, yeah. And he scared the shit out of everybody. Because what happened was, is when he came in, you had the Commission on Presidential Debates. And they wouldn't let him in after that first year. So the Commission on Presidential Debates, if you're wondering, is rigged. It's always been run by Republican and Democrat chairs. They don't want any third parties in on their, you know, on their debates, because they're technically a 401 or a 501c4. So they're a nonprofit but political. So they're meant to be nonpartisan. But they give billions of dollars in free advertising to the Republican and Democrat candidates. They don't want to let, you know, George Jorgensen on, ran as a Libertarian presidential candidate, for instance. Even the League of Women Voters actually, what's the word? They they censured them back in like the 90s because they knew that they were going to hoodwink the American public. I mean, there's a whole controversy over that organization, and we've tried, you know, we've sued them through lawsuits, try to get us to participate in the process. We've sued secretaries of state to get us ballot access. I mean, there's so much fraud in the system. People need to understand that. They wonder, you know, why is the Libertarian Party not as big as it should be? And I tell people it's because we spend millions of dollars a year just to get on the ballot in all 50 states. That in itself is oppressive. We're the only political party in the last like 80 years that's actually been on the ballot in all 50 states plus DC.
Wow.
That's a third party.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You know, people ask me all the time, they go, Larry, what is your political? I try to stay non-political, but mine, as I told you and Ether, is really more libertarian views.
Right.
I don't know. I'm a registered Republican in my area because you have to be able to. I can't vote. I'm a felon. But that's a whole nother story. But my views are totally what I believe most people's views are. Just to let everybody know my views, and I really never came out with this, I am what they call a social liberal, fiscal conservative, which is pretty much a libertarian. Because I don't care what you are, gay, straight, fat, bald, old, young, black, white, Hispanic, Indian, Oriental, I don't give a fuck. Have fun, live your life, drugs, all that. But as a conservative in the fiscal end, I don't like when the government spends my money that I give them in tax in a way that's just a wasteful spending.
Right.
And because, you know, what people don't know, Steve, these politicians work for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, meeting you, and even having a few drinks, getting to know you, and meeting you and talking to you on the phone, we need you. I mean, I don't care the party you're in. I'm liking what you're doing, because I hope in more years to come.
Right.
You're 26?
Yes.
I hope in 10, 15, 20 years, when you're in your prime in this political stuff, and that's the 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
It has changed that where a libertarian can really vie for a political seat and win it.
Yes.
I'm not even talking anything about it. I'm talking a libertarian. Make it what it is. I'm not even knowing if I believe in the party system, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, why not just call anything what it is?
Right.
And here's our views. Because people were wrong. They think if you like gay marriage and you like drugs and you're a Democrat.
Right.
And they think if you like guns and you're a church person, you're a Republican. And that's not true.
And you know what the fastest growing political segments of society are? Libertarian and no political affiliation. Because most people, people want a third party. They want, you know, they want options. I mean, that's what America's all about, right? Having options. And libertarians are exactly that. You know, we like to say, you know, some people say we're socially liberal, you know, fiscally conservative. And that's true. I mean, we are, I think, what most Americans are. We're what America is. The founding fathers were libertarian, right? You know, the Republican Democrats.
Well, didn't we found the country by getting away from England and the party system?
Exactly. And in the beginning, we didn't want political parties. And libertarianism, what separates libertarianism from other political parties, were actually a philosophical ism. So we are a political philosophy and a way to live your life. And I tell people this all the time. You're probably a libertarian. You just don't know it yet. And when I see people, you know, I don't look at them as Republican, Democrat. I look at you, as, you know, everybody as individuals. And I think that's the way it should be. And also our politicians. Because if you look at actual political parties, the way that people vote as politicians, they don't even vote conservative. The Republican Party isn't conservative. The Democrats aren't liberal. You know, for the most part, they're two parts of the same political machine. And there's a way they got there. And a lot of it's partisanship and you know, they're bipartisan, which means both parties work together on the worst issues. They're bipartisan on the drug war. They're bipartisan on actual war, on the debt, on all these different things. So it's
drug war was a big waste of money.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest.
I could get into that one, baby.
And luckily, last election, the drug war lost on every ballot it was on. Oregon decrimmed drugs.
All drugs.
D.C. decriminalized mushrooms, which is
you guys know I like my acid. So
love it.
And maybe it's good for the politicians.
I did a lot of that in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually in prison. Yeah. But you know, the reason I wanted to get you one is because you are well spoken.
Sure.
You're successful and you had your help, but you worked hard. That's why I wanted to let the audience know here he is, he's 14 years old. His dad's making him work the positions and I'm sure they're behind the stick and cleaning the dishes and doing everything.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And now you rose to the position of obviously knowing every position. I tell people all the time, listen, you want to work hard. whatever it is. I don't care if you're starting at a Wendy's.
Right.
And you're starting as the busboy or whatever, and then cook, and then whatever, and then you can grow to a man. You're looking as an owner for a guy that's going to be reliable, smart, and you don't care about his background.
Right.
Yeah. You want him to work hard. He's going to show up and do. I tell a quick story about a guy I helped get a job. Come to my program. And says, hey, Mr. Lawton, I can't get a job anywhere. I said, I'll tell you what, if you'd listen to what I tell you, you're going to do all right. I got him a job as a landscape. You know, landscape.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, here's the deal. I want you to not say a word. I want you to show up every day on time. I want you to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Listen to the owner. He says, okay. In 6 months, the owner says, hey, listen, watch the crew. I'm leaving for a week. Mm-hmm. Guy doesn't say anything. He does it, does a good job. Comes back 6 months later, the owner says to him, he goes, hey, listen, I got this little complex with, I think it was like 14 houses. Mm-hmm. He goes, I can't do it. Do you want to do it? He goes, I don't own a machine. I don't own any. He goes, you got a pickup truck? He goes, yeah. He goes, I'll sell you a machine. But you got to do it on weekends. You can't leave me for 6 months.
Right.
So the kid does it. He works hard, stays with the guy, does everything, does such a good job. Right now, he's got one of the biggest landscaping companies in Boca Raton, does golf courses, the outer edges, and I mean, all from working hard, and he was a troubled young man.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I say, that just shows it can be done by anybody. Look at me.
Yeah, my dad, he came over to the United States, to New Jersey, as an immigrant from Egypt. He was really young. I think he was like 8 years old.
Wow.
He came over here. My grandfather on my dad's side, he worked for Bank of America, so they transferred him from Cairo to New Jersey. And
good
these
job.
Are amazing, right?
Great.
And so he ended up passing away. And then so my father, he grew up with, my grandmother, who was, only parent, with his brother. And he, he grew up, and he grew up with the American dream. And I think that there's something to be said, too, about, the immigrant mentality as well.
Absolutely.
And just learning how to make money and hustle and not be lazy. And I think one of the biggest things you can do is not be too comfortable. Because I think as Americans, especially, I guess, as a first-generation American, it's easy to say, to take everything for granted and to not work hard and to just settle. But when you really put your mind to it and you really want to excel, I mean, my dad put me through the grinder, so it's even almost not even, he treats me harder because he's my, his son.
Absolutely.
So he's not afraid to tell me, how it is. So.
I do that with my son.
Yeah, yeah. and he was able to build what he built. And I'm, here just trying to build upon that and, not trying to necessarily fill his shoes, but also forge my own path, which has been in politics.
Well, we're going to get that to say he's saying is true, and why I answer so much emails and why I comment so much and why I'm very active on YouTube is because at one point I had all the money, so I don't get comfortable. I mean, it can go real quick. The government can take it real quick. So it's not even that. So I look at it in a different way, that I want to just keep working hard until a point when I don't want to do this. And it's not for a while, guys, so that'll let you know. But I want to keep working hard. And I love that you're doing it. I have a question for you with that. What's your dad's stance? Is your dad alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What's your dad's stance? He's younger than me. What's your dad's stance in political?
He's a Republican. He's a staunch Republican. He's a Trump supporter. I'm not. Most of my family, they're pro-Trump. So there's a little bit of tension there with that. But,
I try
to open up his eyes. We argue on some things.
These are the things people don't get. I liked some things Trump did.
Sure.
And I don't like a lot of things he did.
Sure.
Obviously, I don't like what he's doing now. I don't like certain other things that happen. But do I think we need borders? Yes. I mean, you came here illegally. Legally.
Right, right.
That doesn't mean we have to be heartless about things.
Yeah, we don't have to. We can. There needs to be reform on all fronts. And libertarians talk about reform, about drug reform, immigration reform, criminal justice reform, because
gun control,
which
come on, it's not like back in the day,
Even the word gun control itself should never even be. I mean, that's totally anti-constitutional. And what I tell people too is that the Constitution is a limiting document. It's meant to limit the government. It doesn't grant us our rights. So when we think about rights.
It's also an evolving document.
Yes.
We've amended it.
Yes.
We have 27 amendments to the Constitution.
Yeah.
We started with 10.
Exactly. And I think that kind of separates libertarians from Republicans a little bit too, because we believe that our rights are inherent. We are free, independent human beings, and being human precedes the law. So when we understand that, freedom becomes the ultimate constitutional.
I gotta throw a little bullshit in there.
Yeah.
Here's why.
Yeah.
When you say, the Constitution and we're free.
Right.
Think about what that says when they can come into your house. Warrants and a lot of other things that are technically legal. And, you know, you talked about the Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizures. I did the law. And also with people. I'm very, like, when we judge another person, I mean, listen, when the Founding Fathers founded this country, why were blacks not given rights?
Exactly.
I mean, there were some fucked up things. George Collins said it. If you ever listen to George Collins,
he goes, he's one of my favorites.
He says on the thing, he says, we had 10 amendments. I guess they were God-given rights. Well, God forgot fucking slavery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I get that.
And I think that's where, you know, the philosophy comes into place, too, because the Libertarian Party's been around since 1952, right? And so we've been, was it 1952? Because we're coming up on our 50th birthday, so actually it was 1951, right?
If or 1960.
Yeah. If it was,
you're only a 50, it's got to be 70s. We're in 20.
Yeah, you're right.
1970 to 2000 is 30, and they had 22 years. How about 72?
Yeah.
Or 71?
I'll have to look back on that.
Yeah.
I'm getting dates confused.
That
but I know
okay.
we're for, yeah, yeah. I think it was, I think we're calling our 50th birthday because we're coming up on our 49th. Yeah, so.
But, you know, get back to your dad. For
anyway,
one minute.
Yeah.
What does he think of what you're doing?
He supports it. I mean,
does he debate you?
A little bit. But I think he sees the truth in what I'm doing, and he appreciates that. And great I think most people I talk to, they respect that, even though they don't agree. Because, you know, libertarians was funny, because as a libertarian, most people haven't heard of us, right? You know, we're the third largest political party in the United States. However, we are also, you know, a small party in comparison to Republicans and Democrats. But so I get to be the ambassador to people like your audience and say, you know, this is what a libertarian is. You know, we believe in full on, you know, gun rights. We believe in, you know, gay marriage should be legal. We should believe the government should be out of marriage. Why do you even need the government to marriage in the first place? Let's get the government out of our pocketbooks and out of our bedrooms, you know, point blank. Let's have small enough governments to, you know, to do the basic stuff, you know, run the police department and you know, city hall.
I'm gonna now switch my
okay.
I mean this.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna take myself to the libertarian end of things.
Means a lot.
I wanna let my audience know, I think you all need to have your own mind, and you know how I am on this channel, and I support people in all ways. I don't judge even no matter what party they're from, ever.
Yeah.
And I stay politically away from things. But I'm really for the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I help kids. I love to do that. And people make mistakes. You know how I am about that. People change. Look at me.
Yeah.
I was a bad guy. You read my book?
Yeah. I haven't read the book yet. I got it from you, the sign, so I'm going to read it. But I also saw the Gangster Redemption on YouTube. So.
Oh, yeah. The book is even deeper.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But it's pretty wild. And, you know, but people make mistakes, but people change.
Right.
You know, all the kids out there and the people and the young people who made their mistakes. Look at this young man. He I'm sure he partied and made a lot of mistakes in life.
Sure.
And didn't get caught. Oh, yeah. You know, and I love that. I think more people need to know. Not that you have to come out with it. We don't want that.
Yeah.
Meaning, nobody's perfect.
Right.
None of us here are sitting here saying, I went and did a speaking engagement, and one guy stand up and goes, I would never go to jail. I never did anything to go to jail.
Right.
I said to the guy, I said, let me ask you a question. You ever go 20 miles an hour over the speed limit?
Right.
He goes, well, maybe passing someone. I said, well, if you hit somebody and kill them, that's vehicular homicide.
Well, the average American commits 3 felonies a day. I commit a few more in case someone else isn't pulling their own weight.
Is that true?
It is true, yeah. The average American, they say that, but, you know, it can be something as simple as, you know, a felony, you know, could be as simple as doing over 80 miles an hour or over 90 miles an hour in Virginia is a felony. You know, in Virginia, I was driving a hybrid rental car that I drive a pickup truck, so I'm not used to it. There's hills in Virginia. I was meeting somebody else to go pick up a car, and so I'm going down a mountain. There's no one else around me. It's a hybrid. It's quiet. It's a car. So I'm going fast. I'm doing like 90 to something miles an hour. I see a cop. I look at the cop. I look at my speedometer. I go, oh shit. So I hit the brakes. Probably sees my brake lights, wrong thing to do. He comes around, he goes, you know how fast you're going? I'm like, probably pretty fast. And you know, I drive a pickup, Ford is flat. Like, you know, he's like, I can take you to prison right now. I can take you to jail right now, and it's a felony. I go, can you not? So he gave me a misdemeanor. He said, you know, you're doing, you know, whatever it is, I'll lower it down. But, you know, but that could have ruined my whole life. I would have lost franchise license. I would have lost everything, my gun rights, my right to vote, everything, because I was going over the speed limit. And I think an idea that needs to be more mainstream in this country is that, you know, victimless crimes aren't crimes. If you don't hurt anybody, it shouldn't be a crime. And that goes with anything. I mean, you know, when a cop on a motorcycle pulls you over for not wearing a seatbelt, it's not about safety, it's about compliance. And the way that the government works is, in order to get compliance, they have these harsh laws and all these different things. But the reality is most people are going to wear their seatbelt because good ideas don't require force.
You know, that's a great point, and it's true. I'm a believer in, and do what you want, you know that.
Right.
Be responsible in whatever you do. But if you commit a crime to do something,
yes,
that's different. And I mean
right.
a crime, like if you robbed someone to get drugs because you're doing drugs, well, you should be held accountable for that robbery.
Right.
Not the drugs. I could care less what you do with the drugs. But if you need to do a crime to get the drugs, then you have a problem.
Larry, the first thing I would do if I was the governor of Florida or the president, I would pardon every nonviolent person in prison.
If you're the one that got me out.
Yeah.
Violent film.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
100% agree
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, we know how, you know, my platform here,
right.
and everybody on this channel knows it, is prison and police reform.
Right.
And I never say defund the police.
Right.
I say either train them the right way, change their policies. People go, well, defund. I said, no. Let's take the money. No police department that's small, Tavernier, let's say,
right, right, right.
needs a command center SWAT truck.
Right. Yeah.
Now
yeah.
maybe one
from
agency.
Afghanistan.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's
one
crazy.
Agency needs right. something for a major situation.
Sure.
But no little department needs all. Let's
My
take that
money. My old university, FIU, has an MRAP.
Yeah.
What are they gonna do with an MRAP?
And you
on
know what they say? Their defense is. Well, you know, it was given to us by the military. I said, wait, yes, that's free. What about maintenance? What about training mm-hmm. the officers? What about the time?
Yeah.
All that is money that I'm
yeah.
paying for.
Yeah.
I am the citizen paying for this.
And I think if you give all these police departments all these toys, they're going to want to use them. And here's the problem. And I tell people, if you want to support the police, it's the best way to do it is to get rid of bad laws. Because here's from my perspective, what's wrong.
And bad cops.
Huh? And bad cops, both. If you've got good laws, it's a lot better for bad cops to not take advantage of the law. Let me put it this way.
But I still think the bad cops
Oh,
will.
They've got to go.
No,
yeah.
they will.
It'll make
the,
yeah.
They, you know, they go in for it the wrong reason.
Right, right.
Look at you. You're a big, strong guy. I mean, if you were a cop with
right.
your disposition, it would be great. Because
right.
you're not out to prove anything.
Right, right.
You get the little guy, maybe get start working out. He's tough. He was picked on in school. All of a sudden, he's got a badge and a gun.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
you're giving
yeah.
a cop power to take a person's liberty or life. Under the color of law.
Right.
That's some serious shit.
And that's the whole thing with libertarianism, because we talk about the idea of the common force. It's like, you know, if we saw somebody getting carjacked right now, you know, me and you could step in and we could
and we would.
We could do something.
And
yeah,
we would.
And we would. Believe me, we would.
Seconds.
Yeah. But there's certain scenarios where we wouldn't do that. If we saw somebody smoking a joint, you know, we're not going to go over there and tackle them and throw them in a cage. So
we'll ask for a joint.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
You know, it's Key West.
Hey,
it's
you got
keys,
any of that?
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What keys? I don't
right.
care where you
exactly.
are.
Exactly. It's just, you know.
I got a medical marijuana license.
So the whole thing is, you know, if you get rid of the bad laws, let's take the war on drugs, for instance, right? You know, why is there animosity right now? Yeah, yeah. I'm still good on mine.
I mean, can I throw it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Throw it up there. Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're good. If you take the war on drugs, for instance, right? You know, from a young age, especially for young men, you know, definitely people of color and all that, but I think it really is a cat of young men in this country. From a young age, we get profiled, we get pulled over. I've been pulled over from a minivan with police with
Do you,
you know,
think it's because your complexion?
I think it's
you have like an Eastern European
yeah,
complexion.
Yeah,
I mean, you do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think
Egyptian,
that thing, have you ever thought about the beard thing, young guy?
I think it's the cars I drive.
Oh, okay.
Cause, yeah.
Are they souped up?
I drove a Cadillac CTS in college. I rented a Cadillac.
Oh,
I used to lease a Cadillac.
Yeah, yeah.
And my car is the Dodge Charger. It's got, you know, it's tricked out. So it looks like, you know, a vehicle.
Guy,
yeah, you know. So
yeah, all Larry has an RV.
Yeah. And when cops see you.
Wait till you're older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eventually, you know. And I think that, you know, you get profiled, or if you're in a minivan or an SUV and you're alone, you're a man, you know, they're going to pull you over. You fit the profile, right? And even just being out, you know, growing up, just hanging out in the streets with my friends, riding bikes around, whatever. We get harassed all the time by the cops growing up. I can only imagine how much worse it is for worse places. Why is it like
and
that?
Like you said, people of color and stuff of that
course.
Nature.
Spent, yes.
You know, that I feel for them. I really
yeah.
do.
And what happens is the war on drugs has incentivized police departments essentially pulling in quotas. So if you get a certain amount of pot arrest, you get money from the Department of Justice for new toys, new cars, salary increases, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you want that promotion, you know, you need to pull in a certain amount of, you know,
not
drug arrest,
confiscation money,
tickets, and not to mention civil asset forfeiture, which, by the way, civil asset forfeiture in the United States has exceeded the amount of money taken from actual robberies by criminals.
What he's saying, just to let everybody know, in the United States, civil asset forfeiture, as a matter of fact, Paul Italino, who's been on the show, does that, getting it back. What they do is they actually seize, they can seize your car, seize your house, seize your, and claim that it was by either drug proceeds or criminal proceeds, and they ended up, that's a forfeiture. And you, first of all, it takes so much and legal to get it back. Some people give up on it, and they actually get to keep it. And I did not know the number was as high as...
And they don't charge you. So they could, if we had 15 grand cash right here sitting at this table, and a cop decided, you know, this is somehow a drug transaction, or, you know, Larry's here or whatever.
Thanks, Dave. Dave's giving us our stuff. We need him. Awesome. You guys know what I like.
There's so many simple solutions to the problems that we face that nobody's talking about, that only the libertarians are talking about, because it involves either getting rid of regulation, lowering the size of government, you know. How about law enforcement focus on real crimes, not people smoking pot in their house or doing whatever drug it is. And they're, you know, maybe stop treating, you know, drug addicts like criminals and actually trying to help them instead of throwing them in cages. You know, we'll act like a civilized society.
You know what's making me feel good in this conversation? And when I decided, when we sat and I talked, and I was telling you I was coming to the Keys, I really sat and thought, and I'm going to be doing a video on homeless in Key West County Jail on Stock Island. I'm going to be doing that one. But on this video, I wanted to highlight young people who are entrepreneurs and working hard still, and your position in the Libertarian Party, which I think is great. And it's making me feel good that there's guys like you who are educated. I tell my audience this, people. Please get educated on the issues that you think are important to you. Whether it's gun control, whether it's drug stuff, like Florida, and I know John Morgan, and they wanted marijuana legal, which I believe in. So he's pushing for that. And I'm happy to see Steve, who's a young man, who's got political aspirations, which I love, because we need smart people who educate themselves about the issues. And I want you guys to do that. And obviously Steve's information is going to be in our link, and you can ask him any questions about the Libertarian Party, because I'm learning a lot about it, and I love it. And I just want to say that. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
We need more young people who are educated and have views on these issues.
Yeah.
So you must do a lot of reading.
I do. Yeah.
And where do you get your political views from? I mean, your dad was Republican.
Right.
Your mom is probably not.
She's Republican too.
Yeah, but not as, mostly or not as, rabid.
Right. She listens, you know, they all.
But where did you get the libertarian view?
I actually started following Ron Paul back in 2012.
Okay.
And I was a big Ron Paul guy, and I actually registered Republican so I could vote for Ron Paul if he
won. I was a young Republican, how's
really?
That?
Yeah.
In the Young Republican Committee.
Really? Oh, wow.
Back in the, well, again, in the 80s now. This is in the 80s. 87, 88 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Was it different back then?
You know what? It was. I mean, you just had, it was really, truly conservative.
Yeah.
I was never conservative in the social thing.
Right.
But for the money-wise, and you had a thing, and you had the debt, and the spending, and everything else. And I believed in that. And I'm going to prison. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that'll change you really quick.
Yeah.
When you find out the money involved in a lot of these places. And it's sadly, even Ron Paul, money has corrupted them.
Right.
Because they want to stay in office.
Right.
You know, term limits.
Yeah.
I'm a believer in term limits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, why do we have career politicians in there for 50 years?
Yeah.
That's a job now. It's not a passion.
It's a career. It's a career path. And how do you stay in there? You appease your constituents. And you might, you know, and a lot of these people, they turn to the money and they turn to the power, because you might be, you're going to be a one-term politician if you're saying what I'm saying. Maybe. And I think things are changing. I think we're ahead of the times.
And I think you are.
Yeah.
That's why I told you, you know, you're going to run across a lot of stuff, Steve.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have already, but you're going to, I'm giving you an old man's perspective.
Yeah.
You're going to run across a lot of stuff. Your time has not even come yet. You're 26. You're already the national. I mean, your resume is very impressive. You're the national representative for the Libertarian Party.
For the Southeast.
You're the president of the Florida Libertarian Party chapters. Very impressive. But it's going to change. And it might go down. It might come up.
Sure.
But your time is 20 years from now.
Yeah.
And now think of that. That's still young.
Yeah.
I'm 59. That's 46 years old.
Right.
You're 20 years.
Yeah.
I really believe it's changing because I have an audience who is very mostly young and mostly male, mostly and affluent, a lot of them. And I look at you guys and I look at Steve and I hope you all get together and change the system in a way that I never could. I mean, I didn't have that will like I see him. And I'm so happy, I really am, and I don't want you to ever get discouraged.
Yeah.
So tell me where you see it going now, after I just fucked you up.
No, you're good. So, you know, the Libertarian Party is, you know, I've been on the National Committee for the past, since 2016, right? So 4 years, I'm on my third term. So I'll have 6 years on my belt by the time this term is over.
So you've been doing it since you're 20?
Yeah, I was like 20, 22. But I started the chapter, the Florida Keys chapter, when I was in 2014. Because what happened is I found about Gary Johnson at Paul Fest in Tampa, and he was about legalizing marijuana and pro firearms and getting rid of the debt, ending the drug war, you know, taking us home out of, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, all these wars without missions. And I was all for it, and I was like, this is great. So I got involved with the Libertarian Party, changed my voter registration to Libertarian. I never actually voted a Republican. I was always Libertarian when I got to vote, but I had a friend down here, Mike.
I voted for Reagan.
Yeah.
voted for Ronald. Yeah. I actually marched in Ronald Reagan's inaugural parade.
Oh, wow. Really?
I have a thing on the wall.
Oh, that's funny.
I was in the military.
Yeah. And so I got involved with the chapter down here, the Libertarian Party of Florida Keys. We got an old guy that was involved with the Concord Public Revolution, which is a funny story for me to talk about it, because that's pretty cool.
I'm definitely going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. So the Concord Public. So back in, I think it was 1982. What happened is that, you know, the Keys has always been since the Spanish conquistadors were in the United States. From the founding, I mean, the Florida Keys has been a smuggling pipeline
to the rest of the country. We knew that back in the 80s. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to get into that too much.
So what happened is the federal government put a roadblock right up on the stretch, which separates the mainland from the Keys, right? So they required passport, you know, the ID'd you, created a big line, and it hurt business in the whole Keys. So it was really hurting business. They did it for the drug war. They're arresting, you know, people for different things. They're citing people. It caused a problem, right? So they got together and they said, you know what? If you're going to treat us like another country, we're going to be another country. So we decided we were going to secede. The Free Florida Keys and the Concord Public, yes. So we seceded. We declared war on the United States.
Who though?
The mayor of Key West and the commissioners declared war.
We actually did it.
And get this. So
this is great history.
So, yeah. So the mayor declared war by breaking a stale piece of Cuban bread over the head of a Navy officer in Mallory Square. And then we had our military, which was made up a bunch of fishermen and dinghies. You know, they were throwing stale vegetables and Cuban bread at the Navy cutter, and he surrendered. The battle raged on for minutes. And
the mayor surrendered?
No, the Navy commander.
The Navy commander surrendered?
Yeah.
This is all true.
This is all fact. And so what happened after that is the next day we surrendered, actually. So
we surrendered.
The Concord Public surrendered. The Navy commander surrendered in the battle of the great, great Concord Public battle. War raged on for minutes.
I love it.
And so we surrendered.
Was this a national story?
This has actually happened.
A national story.
Yeah.
Google it.
Oh yeah. That's why we call it the Concord Public. Because, and we have a flag, and you can get a passport. You actually travel the world in it. They don't ask questions.
Today you can do it?
Yeah. I know somebody traveled to France in the passport.
You can literally do it to this day.
Yeah, oh yeah. There was someone that went to Guatemala, and they thought he was American. They were like gorillas, and they wanted to kill him. And he said, me no Americano, mi Concord Publica. And they go, oh, they filled them with tequila shots instead of, you know, bullet shots.
Oh,
swear to God, it actually happened.
Jeez, I better get one of those.
Yeah. And so we celebrate our independence.
Now, did you have to live in the Keys to get that?
No, you can just go down. It's all a tourist thing. The whole thing was done tongue-in-cheek, but it got the results we wanted. And we say, you know, the Concord Public isn't a state. It's a state of mind. And the idea is you can you can battle, you know, all this tyranny and all this overreach through humor and the idea of freedom. And the next day, when the mayor asked for, you know, for retribution, they wanted for surrendering, they said, we want to, as terms of our surrender, we want you guys to lift the checkpoint.
Sure.
And we want $1 billion in restitution. We didn't get the $1 billion, but they did lift the checkpoint. And
they didn't get the $1 billion. money does everything.
Yeah, yeah. But we did get what we wanted. And so the roadblock was lifted. They got the point. It was all tongue-in-cheek, good humor. And it got us where we were, you know, we wanted to be. Without political action, without any, you know, blood. You know, that's a real way that's one of the ways we can attack politics.
That is a great story.
Because they don't know how to work with humor. Because it's outside of their mental jurisdiction. They, you know what I mean? So through humor, through different ways of action, you know, we can really make a difference. And that's the story of the Conk Republic.
I just love it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I just love the fact that you come from a very, I guess, conservative Republican family.
Right.
And you have the views you have. And
yep.
What I mean by your views is, you're like me. You don't hate anybody. You don't care about gay, white, black.
Yeah.
I could tell that right off
right.
the bat. You're a normal young guy, man. Live your life,
yeah.
man. You
want to
fuck the hole in the wall, go fuck
exactly.
the hole in the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like that.
Yeah.
But you also want your gun. You
right.
want, you know, you want your other rights
exactly.
that you believe
yeah.
that are done.
I don't see any difference between, you know, what your party preference or favorite party drug or sexual preference or favorite firearm or all these things are freedom.
But what do you think of the, obviously everything comes down to money and politics.
Right.
And what's sad, and I'm going to say this now in 2020, so when I'm not here, but in 2020, 40, and you're Senator Steve, I want you to look back, and I hope you don't let politics corrupt
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Because that's what I
yeah.
really believe a lot of people go into. You can like her or hate her.
Yeah.
Ocasio-Cortez, she's passionate
she
about
is.
What she believes in.
Right.
And you might not believe in everything she does.
Yeah.
But I love her passion.
And you know what, Larry? You know, me and her might be on opposite sides of the political spectrum, but I will say one thing about her. She has two pairs of shoes from when she cannabis, which means knocking on doors in her district. She knocked on so many doors, she had to go through two pairs of shoes to get to where she to the position that she's in. In a way, she is an underdog, and you got to respect that spirit.
Respect it so much.
Regardless of her policies, which I may or may not agree with, she is the underdog, and actually the theme of our last convention was Rise of the Underdogs, because we are the party of black sheep.
You mean when I spoke?
That was our actual convention before that.
I got to
so that was
at
a
the
meeting.
Big convention.
But yeah, I got to go on the national convention, because that's like that
was
the people. I'm going to put a word in for you with the convention.
They don't
people.
Love me. Yeah. You know how I am.
Yeah, and they'll appreciate it too, because I say to people, you know, as libertarians, you know, I look at it like, especially now in 2020, what a lot of people do is it's almost like you're drilling into a block of wood, right? And you've got the drill, and you know, and the drill kind of short circuits. And most people stop there. And they might say, oh, QAnon. And you know what I mean? That's their political philosophy. Or you know, drugs are bad, or whatever it is. But you got to keep drilling closer to reality. And and for me personally, you know, libertarianism, because I when I grew up, you know, I saw a lot of problems with the world, economically, with war, all these different things. I don't know, I'm an empath, whatever. And I saw libertarianism as the solution. So to me, this is my path, this is my calling, my solution to the issues that I see. And cutting through that reality, you know, has allowed me to see that and how it affects everybody, all stripes, whether you're rich, you're poor, you're a capitalist, you want to get by, whatever it is. I mean, I see it as that philosophy that helps everybody.
My point, Steve, was I wanted to say is don't let money, this is my goal, and I really for him. I hope you make $1 billion.
Sure.
Not to fund your whole camp, but all that bullshit they say.
Right, right.
So you're not corruptible.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Larry, you know, we have, I think it's roughly 400 libertarians. It fluctuates.
In
right?
Florida.
In nationally.
401.
401. Yeah. Elected libertarians.
I'm not elected.
Yeah, yeah. Nationally, we got.
Maybe
I'm
I'll
not
run.
Sure the exact number of.
Maybe
members,
I'll run.
But we've got quite. You should. I don't know our exact membership level, because only 32 states actually record that data. Believe it or not.
Why?
because there's different laws in some states, whether
again,
or not you're a minor party.
Yeah.
So, but we've got hundreds of thousands of libertarians, and when it comes to the vote,
it's got to be over a million.
It's easy. We're at least, you know, I mean, when it comes to numbers, I mean, people, and even the ones that aren't registered libertarians turn out. They vote libertarian.
I agree with that. I'm learning about it, and I learned it through you. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know much about. I knew, of course, I knew Ron Paul, and I knew Rand Paul versus his father.
Yeah.
And then Ron Paul, and then Rand Paul. And so I knew about it. And when you asked me to speak, you know, someone says, Larry, why are you speaking at a political event? I says, well, because they believe what my views are. And they're going to let me speak when I talk to you. Larry, say whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, you said that to me.
Yeah.
And that made me say, I hope he knows what he's getting.
Yeah.
Because my language can be a little tough.
Right.
And I will call out politicians that are powerful. Yeah. You know, this is that.
Right.
And, you know, when I was speaking, I'm watching guys in the back. Standing up almost, loving it.
Yeah.
You know, because they know I was right. They must have been from the area.
Yeah, yeah.
And they knew about the bad politics, I call it, you know.
Yeah.
But getting back into that. You know, so you're a guy that's going to run, and my problem with politics in general is how money corrupts it.
Yes.
And it seems like most people go to Congress with a great heart, and they really do. But they let the system corrupt them.
Even with the limited, you know, and it depends on the jurisdiction, but from the races we run, and we do win elections.
You do win them?
We do win them, yeah. We actually, this last election, we won 1 in 5 of municipal elections, which is still pretty good odds.
Pretty good.
And I would guess probably
20%?
20%.
That's not that bad.
You know, and you know, and we're still learning. We're still, you know, we invest a lot of money in our candidates and the support networks and the infrastructure, so we're becoming more and more of a threat. And I'll tell you what, Larry, you know, before the election, they said your vote doesn't matter. If you're a libertarian, your vote doesn't matter. You're wasting your vote. You had Michelle Obama and all these different people saying, now's not the time to vote third party. Hillary Clinton spent $14 million in 2016 on anti-third party attack ads because they didn't want the Green Party to take the liberal vote, so to speak. But libertarians,
she should have went to Michigan and friggin' Pennsylvania.
Yeah, libertarians we know vote from the left and the right. You know, we pull from public. And I don't like saying we steal votes because we don't steal anything. We earn votes. If you vote for a candidate, that's your vote. No one else owns your vote. They try to shame you to say, oh, you let the worst of two evils win, or you need to vote for lesser of two evils. No, because that's how we got to where we are. And if we're going to really turn this country around and make it a bastion of freedom and all those different things, we have to be principled.
Do you see it changing?
I do.
I mean, you've been on it now since 6 years.
Yeah.
What do you see changing? I mean, I see, when I talk to my audience, I see young people with the views of mine.
Right.
Some, obviously, they follow my channel, and there's a million of them out there.
Right.
I see them talking about, hey, Larry, you should be a politician. They all want me to run for Congress or president.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. You should see them again. And I laugh. I don't know if I could do as much good there as I can where I'm at with a platform. I can help a guy like Steve get in there who's got the right, and I call, see, I hate that word values of, because then everyone thinks it's their values. I think it's a platform.
Right.
You believe in the things that I think more than 70% of this country believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really
I
do.
Think so too.
My
I
mom,
think so too.
Who's going to be 88,
yeah.
My mom, she is just like that. She don't care. I come from New York City. She never hated a black person, biker, gay person. My mom is, you know, almost that liberal. But she's also conservative in certain things as well. She wants people to work. And I go, wow. So she grew up. It was great values my parents gave us. Our values are, don't judge anybody. Who are you to judge?
Yeah.
Work hard.
Yeah.
I mean, go work hard, earn your living, and live your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, they gave us that. I give them that.
Yeah.
And I want our audience to get into that and join or help or start looking into. If you do nothing else today, look into the Libertarian Party in your area. And tell them you heard it here. You spoke to Steve, who's the president of the Florida National...
The Libertarian Party of Florida.
The Libertarian Party of Florida.
Yeah.
He's the president.
Yeah.
And where do you see it going in the short term?
So I'll tell you the short term, long term, right? So I see the party getting more professional. We're getting more media because if you look at all the surveys and the polls, you know, people want more. They want a third party.
But do you think the big parties are going to try to get in and corrupt those little, that, you know, your party?
Oh, They're gonna try because I know instances where we've run in relatively small local races and we get, hey, listen, we'll give you $25,000 if you can give us this public land. I mean, that's already happening at the local level on small races.
If you give us this public land?
Yeah, you give us this public land to build our apartment complex or whatever it is, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, so, you're getting corruptions already.
So they're already getting offers, you know what I mean? But we have to say no to that. And it's a part, and I think one thing that separates us is our passion and our drive. And you know, not everybody's going to be uncorruptible, but we have to watch out for that. But in the short term, we are winning elections. You know, we do have, you know, Justin Amash is a congressman. He wasn't elected, but he was, he did switch parties. Our highest elected libertarian in the land.
He was a libertarian?
He was a Republican, he went independent, then he went libertarian.
Is he a libertarian now?
Oh, yeah.
But he lost the election, is that why?
No, he wasn't elected as a libertarian.
But he's in Congress, and he's a libertarian.
Who
does he caucus with?
There's a Liberty Caucus, so he's good friends like Thomas Massey and Rand Paul and those guys, because they're kind of the small sort of libertarian-esque circle, right? You know, I think Justin and Massey are probably the most libertarian members of Congress, you know, just like when Rand Paul was up there. Our highest elected libertarian in the land is actually out in Riverside, California. His name is Jeffrey Hewitt. And he actually won. He has got a 2 million person district. He's on a 5-man board. He's a libertarian, so he's kind of the, you know, he gets people together. He helps decide votes, and he does great work. And we're winning those elections. So in the short term, we're turning up the heat. We're becoming more strategic, and you have to be strategic in politics. And there, you know. You have to be realistic and strategic at the same time. You have to know what to do. You have to play, you know, the political game as far as what it takes to get elected. And what I mean by that is not compromise on political, on principle, but to be more aware of, you know, the systems that create good political campaigns and setting people up for success.
I'll tell you a thing that happened to me and why maybe I got a little bit pissed at the sheriff in my area.
Yeah.
And I don't care, it's online. In 2012, he ran for sheriff, and I know him.
Yeah.
And he's a great politician. And we sat and talked at, I could tell you the restaurant too. Anyway, it's up off in Rockledge, Florida. Mm-hmm. And we sat and we talked. I said, listen, I'm gonna help you, do what I can, but just fix the jail.
Yeah.
You know, do the right thing. I don't care how you get there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know you gotta play the politics. But when you get there, do the right thing.
Yeah.
And he got there and he didn't do the right thing. Made the jail worse.
Yeah.
He made it a Joe Arpaio jail.
Right.
I mean, how do you degrade people like that?
Right.
You know, he's got this crap, Wheel of Fugitive. You know who's on the Wheel of Fugitive? People who had violations of probation.
Mm.
Get the fuck out of here. Why are you putting and making a person look like an asshole? He's got a violation of probation because he had three, suspended licenses.
Mm.
Why are you putting people, you know, fishing for justice, and he brings these people up? You think they're murderers.
Mm.
No, I get that. You want to get a murderer off the street.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
You want to get a guy who sold fucking, a gram of cocaine or an ounce of cocaine. Gives a fuck.
Yeah.
And he does. But that's his shtick. I call it a shtick. So he got there, and it's a shtick. And you and I know it. But you... You know, I'm thinking Libertarian Party. You get there, and then the money corrupts you.
Right.
And I don't care how you get there. I really don't. And I know you have to do it.
Right.
But when you have to say to somebody, you know, I'll just give a thing. The biggest company in the Keys, I don't know what they are, but they come to you and they say, hey, listen, we're going to support you. We're going to give you $50,000 for your election. You're going to use it any way you want.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, when we come up for votes, you know, we need this zoning to be this. Now, there's a give and take because you really believe in your process.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be discounted for that because you might believe in it.
Yeah.
Let's just take a drinking.
Yeah.
You know, they might have a 2 a.m. Curfew and they want it to 4 a.m. And he wants it. I don't care if he donates for that because that's subjective.
I'll tell you what, Larry. The Keys has always been a place, you know, you've got drug smugglers, all these people, good people. Right. Most
really?
People are just normal people.
You know,
I mean, really.
You know, listen,
I grew up to school.
You know what my channel says?
Yeah.
I talk about a guy, I said my cellie once, was a guy named Lee, and he killed a man on Pensacola Air Force Base with an axe handle.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk like that, and I go, but he was a good guy. And people always go, Larry, he killed fucking people. But you know, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
one inherit or whatever acts, there still could be a third person.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I ain't saying anybody.
And there's everybody deserves a second chance. I'm in the second chance business.
Absolutely.
I've hired people, especially with, you know, the Wendy's and this and that, you know, have become off the streets homeless or, you know, felons or whatever, because I really do believe in second chances.
That's how we got together. You telling me about that homeless.
And some of these guys end up becoming. I know a guy. He was honorably discharged by the military, addicted to drugs, whatever. He ended up working for me for 2 years. Manager, great. He's an attorney. So
isn't that such a success story?
You know, that's just
it makes you say, wow. You know,
yeah.
Like I look at, you know, I love service workers.
Mm.
There's something about them that I love because, in fact, my brother and I, we travel.
Yeah.
Dave, you know, we're very close. And we robbed together. We're just a very close family.
Yeah.
And when we go out to eat, we give very good tips.
Yeah.
Very good tips. And people, I go, because they're workers, man. They're trying to make a living. They're hustling. I take my bicycle. And if I see those sign turners, I stop and give them $5.
Yeah, yeah.
You go, what are you doing? I go, keep working hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You're working on this. I don't care. Whatever. It's a second job.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
doing it to get money. I don't care if you're a bum. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You're working hard. You're not stealing dumb.
Exactly.
You're not robbing.
Yeah.
So I love what you're doing here. Is that your philosophy in your businesses?
It is. You know, you treat your people well, you know, and they stick around forever.
So
can an
ex-felon get a job with you?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. And they do. And we have ex-felons.
Man, I love that.
Yeah, yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like these companies that give an application, guy puts felon in, and he's out.
And look, I don't care what you do at home, as long as you don't bring it to work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that's fun. I think that's the standard. You know what I mean? Because
it's not
Sid. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
somebody like yourself sees one of your employees and let's just say he's an activist for gay rights, and he's online, and people say, oh, and he, you know, and people say, what should you give a fuck what he does online? Unless he's hurting your business.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But they're not. A person's view.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
A cook or a waitress that's got political views on your channel don't mean anything.
Right. And look, everybody doesn't have different political views. I don't care what they post online. You know what I mean? And I don't bring business into my. You know what I mean? When we're business. But going back real quick to, you know, about corruption and what happens when we get up the ladder and we start to get, you know, one good thing about having businesses is that, you know, they can't go after your boss. They can't say, hey, you know, Steve is, you know, they can't try to, you know, get on Twitter and get you fired, any of that kind of stuff. But
like me.
Yeah.
They can't do that. Well, they try. Listen, my audience loves what I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I go to them.
Yeah. And
they're my supporters.
And there's a market for that. You know, there's a market for authenticity. There's a market for, you know, telling the truth and in your own community. And they try to go after you. And you know, Key West and the Florida Keys, it's a good old boys community. We call it the Bubba system. So,
is it still that way?
It's still that. Oh, 100%. Yeah. If you look online, we had the most corrupt taxi system in the United States. So back when Uber and Lyft was getting into Key West and the Florida Keys, which is a great service, they're finally allowed. I actually went and lobbied on their not on their behalf, but just as a private citizen, say, look, I'm not saying it should be Uber. I'm just saying ride sharing should be legalized because people in my generation, you know, you're tipsy, you need a ride home, you call an Uber, you call a Lyft. Otherwise, you call these taxi companies. They call you. Call them. 30 minutes. You're waiting. Hey, where are you? Taxi. Where are you at? We're gonna get there when we get there. So
you're the one that helped that. That's great. Good for you.
We were one of six citizens. There was about 60 people there. The other 55 people that spoke were all taxi drivers and their families. And the whole city hall was booked with taxi companies. They told them that if you don't show up there, you're gonna lose your job. So they had all the taxi companies show up. They went inside. They lobbied on behalf of their taxi business. It's protectionism. It's their monopoly. They have a medallion system. And that's how it operates down here. Yeah. Yeah. And it finally became legal at the state level. So they had to let the competition come in, which has been great because a taxi company is shaped up. They have apps you can go and get on their taxis where they act like Ubers. So it's a little bit of free market there. But you know, the county and the city, it's very much a good old boy system. The mayor went to high school with the state attorney who knows the judges. Everybody knows everybody. So for someone like me to break
in. You're small. How many people in the Keys?
70,000.
In all of the Keys?
In all the Keys, yeah.
From back to front?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're so up and down it in businesses.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. We're everywhere.
You know, so you must travel the Keys every day?
Every day.
Yeah. Up and down the Keys?
Up and down, yeah. At least once a week I'm up here and then marathon. I spend most of my time down in Key West, but, you know, I know people up and down. And,
wow.
And,
only
you know,
70,000. And,
yeah.
and it's a well-known area. It's not like,
right.
Oh, you know, you tell it an area with 70,000 and, you know, like bumfuck Florida in the middle of the state, nobody knows who the fuck this is.
Right.
Yeah, say Key West.
Yeah, Key West is about 25,000, 30,000.
But everybody knows it.
Everybody,
I mean, the world.
Yeah. You know? Super popular place. So, like, at any given time, there's probably hundreds of thousands of people here.
I love it.
Just because,
you know,
it's great.
It.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Or, you know, Party Central, you got DeVal, you've got
And they don't
the
bother
water,
you. You know? I don't know what you're doing right.
Yeah.
I've never been stopped in the Keys.
Yeah.
Ever in my life.
When I was in Miami going to college, I used to get stopped a lot. Just, you know,
Yeah.
But down here, you know, they're usually pretty cool. I know a lot of local police. You know, they're usually, you know, if you're cool with them, they're cool with you. They get to know you. It's cool, right? But the biggest thing down here is that Bubba system. Because if somebody knows somebody, you know, they're gonna hook them up with the job to do this for the city or that or whatever. So there is that level
of... How do you get away from that?
You
can't.
So I think the way you get away with that is, I always tell people, don't fight City Hall. Be City Hall. Impotentes defender liberatum non possant. Those without.
Say that again very clearly for my audience.
Impotentes defender liberatum non possant. Those without power cannot defend freedom.
What language is that?
That's Latin.
Latin.
So that's a Latin phrase. And what
those
that,
without power?
Those without power cannot defend freedom. So the idea is that, you know,
we need to get power.
You need to get in charge. So if you want things to be less corrupt, if you want to see changes in the system, if you want to see certain policies, you got to run for office. It's the only way.
So we need more of my young audience to run for office.
Correct.
Get into politics.
Get involved.
You know what they're going to say to me? Run for president, Larry. I'm telling you,
yeah.
I love it.
We should get you up for like city commissioner or county or something like that.
This is not that joke. I thought
I'm
running for Congress because I think I can win a congressional seat with all the help I can get. I think we can raise the money.
I
think we can get the. I got internet people.
Yeah.
Forget it. I mean, we can really get the young vote.
You
and I get that. And I just don't know if I can do the good I can.
Right.
And don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe I can. My goal is to keep growing my channel.
And
getting
yeah.
behind the guys like you
and
or anybody in my audience. Who's in an area that wants to run in libertarian, they want to start talking to me about that. That's a whole different animal. I will. And if they come through Steve, and Steve and I start, because we're going to be doing a lot together, I think. And I think that's important. That's what he says, I always believe in. I now am very connected. Well, I live in Palm Bay, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the chief of police and I did videos together. I'm telling you, but we had an adversarial relationship to start.
Right.
Until he met me and we started talking, he goes, Larry, I was wrong about you. And I was adamant about money, confiscation funds it was.
Yeah.
And how they spend them. And, you know, by law, you have to spend 25% of federal confiscation money on community programs. I don't know if you knew that.
I know.
So a police department gets $100,000, they have to spend $25,000 on community programs. That means for kids, basketball, whatever it is, not coffee mugs for the police department, not fucking you know, training for, you know, baton fucking twirling or whatever they do in the police department. Have to do it for community programs, interacting with young people.
Yeah.
So, but until I got that relationship with the chief, and he's a great guy. I'm telling you, you get personal with him. I know his heart's in the right place. I know that thing. Now again, Sheriff and I, we have that adversarial. I don't care. I don't hate anybody. You know, I disagree with him a lot. I would have him on my show, but I'm not going to fucking hold back. I'm going to tell him, you know, the real deal. That's just the way Larry is.
Yeah.
And I want you to give a pitch.
Okay.
To my audience.
Sure.
How to get in there? Not only how to get into the Libertarian Party.
Yes.
Why they should get into the Libertarian Party.
Absolutely. So if you're passionate about really changing, if you're passionate about really changing the world and you want to act politically, whether you want to run for office or you want to support a political campaign or you just want to get involved in your local community, I highly recommend going to lp.org and checking us out. You know, join your mailing list, look for your state party. So Florida Libertarian Party is lpf.org. You know, sign up, get involved, you know, fill out whatever questionnaires they have, find out where your local affiliate is, get involved with them. Because the Republican and Democrats, you know, it varies by area and everything else, but 9 times out of 10, they're not going to represent you. At least the kind of changes that we want to see as far as, you know, real changes, radical changes, and we are that political party of real change. And so, you know, if you're interested in really making an impact, head over there, you know, sign up, donate if you can, get involved, and look to see what you can do, because, you know, there's so much out there, but so many people, especially nowadays, they don't feel empowered. They feel like, man, the world's happening so fast, there's nothing I can do as an individual. But as an organization, as a group, we have power. We look out for one another. I know that if I was arrested right now, that there'd be, you know, a dozen people outside of, you know, City Hall for me right now, because we're a group, we're a network. You have to have the dragon to back you up. It's an old Chinese saying, have the dragon. And, you know, we can be that support network for folks. Get involved in the local community. One big way you can get involved right now is just be the voice. Go to your city council meetings. See what they have on the agenda. When they're talking about, you know, doing this or that, you know, get you and your friends. I mean, if you have five people, or even three of your best friends, you go on and you sign up to speak, and you guys speak for 3 minutes each, you know, 15 minutes, that can make a huge difference. Because if you hammer City Hall for 15 minutes and just talk and say, hey, this is why I support this thing, or I don't support it, or we need to focus on this, that makes impact. Being online on Facebook, on Twitter, it doesn't do jack shit. You know, it doesn't change anything, and thinking that it will is fruitless. But being out in the real world, that's where we really play the game. And so if we can be involved politically, if we can build the party, if we can get out, get more libertarians elected, you and your friends take over City Hall, make the right decisions, check out our platform, go online, take a look. Because I was quoting USA Today, you know, most people are libertarians, they don't know it yet. Most people are libertarians. I mean,
you know, yeah. I'll say that the truth, because I kind of knew I was. But, you know, I never thought deep like I'm thinking now.
Yeah.
And what I want to tell my audience is, I say this all the time. I say, if the young people, and most of my audience is mostly young, if the young people pool their resources and their vote together, we can do anything. You want to pass marijuana, you want to pass legalized drugs, you want to pass... And I'm not saying you do. I'm saying whatever. The young vote is so strong, but they don't get it out.
Right.
And I wanna mobilize a community. And I have a Discord server. And you guys all know it. And if you don't, go to Discord, Larry Lawton, Jewel Thief server. Mega, we got over 8,000 rabid fans that will shut down somebody's internet, do whatever we want. And they wanna mobilize. They wanna be led. How's that?
Yeah.
And obviously I'm one of their leaders, and I want, it's my server, and these young people inspire me. They really do, Steve. And you, as a young person, you inspire me. You make me say, Larry, keep doing what you're doing. Don't quit. Keep fighting for what you think, you know, believe in and whatever, and get behind the guys like you. You know, I hope, you know, and I think we're going to have a great relationship for a long time. I want you to get behind me when things happen, and I can help you internet-wise or young people-wise and stuff like that. Because if we all get together, and I'm talking about this channel, and get Steve, and he's going to be a guest, and, you know, he's willing to speak his mind. You know how I am. Don't fucking play games. Speak it like it is. Don't give a fuck. I don't give a shit. You're like smoking this, fucking in the air. I don't give a fuck what you're like. Be honest. Be okay. And you know what? Feel. You want a light change in your neighborhood. If you want a street light because kids are getting killed, you got to get to that political people there to get that street light fixed, or that a light put on there because people get killed. You don't go to the national. Everybody worries about now. Oh, my vote don't count because, oh, it's the presidential election. I might be right now. But guess what? If you're in a local election, like Steve is saying, and we get a libertarian or two on that council, and we can get votes, that's what changes, am I correct?
That's correct.
And we got to get more young people like you involved. What's the final thoughts with the audience?
Final thoughts, I would say, you know, if you don't care about politics, politics cares about you. So it's important to get involved. We are the next generation. We are going to make a difference. I never thought marijuana would be legalized in my lifetime. It's already happening. You know, we want to see more and more changes. We want to see things happen with the changes being made. Get involved. I mean, you know, get involved. Read. Power is, there's knowledge and knowledge is power. You know, you asked me earlier, what books do I read? I'm a big fan of Robert Greene.
Gangster Redemption?
Gangster Redemption is another one. read Gangster Redemption.
No.
Yeah, read 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. Read Laws of Human Behavior. Read books on libertarianism, the philosophy. I promise you'll like it. If you have any questions for me or about the philosophy or about what we're doing, we're trying to accomplish, even if you don't want to join the Libertarian Party, that's fine too. I'm still wanting to work with people, and you know, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, you know, I don't see party lines, I see individuals. So you can reach out to me at chair, C-H-A-I-R, at lpf.org. Check us out. And, you know, I'd be willing to work with you and help you, even if you're halfway across the country. We have people everywhere. It's a network and it's a movement, and we fight for freedom, and that's what I'm here to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thanking Steve to the bottom of my heart. What a great guy. All the links are right here, people, and down below. His link, his email, the thing he gave is going to be in the links below. I want to thank him again. We're at the Island Grill in Alamorada, Florida. Trust me, stop here. Bloody Marys. What are these called? These green?
Green tea shots.
Green tea shots.
Food.
Truthfully, guys, this is one of the nicest places I've been. Obviously, you can see the backdrop, and I'll be back here a lot. I think the Keys are great, obviously, but if you come through the Keys, stop at the Island Grill, please do. Support him and ask for him. He might be around, might be not, but email him. And trust me, this guy will get back. He's never not. We started communicating, we text and stuff. Always gets back to me. We set this interview up, and here we are. We're doing it on a Sunday. And he came up from Key West, which was 80 miles, to come on up to do the interview. I want to thank him for that. Great spot. I also want you to really think about whatever political. I want you to stay active. Without being active, we're just a bunch of people behind a computer, and we don't want that. We want you to be active. And you can be active even from behind your computer, and you can help. And think about that as well. Thanks, everybody. We had a great show. I love Steve. Thanks again, Steve. Make sure you make good choices. Listen, live your life, but make good choices, because that's what it's all about. Don't go down the path I went. Always remember that. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. God bless.